Well, this is quite a switch from last week's gospel, don't you think? Last week it was, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." And this week it's, "Get out of my sight, you Satan." Jesus chose Peter, but Peter evidently had some problems adjusting to the role. He thinks that he's supposed to protect Jesus from whatever suffering is ahead. And so Jesus reminds him that Peter has some suffering of his own to worry about. All of us have some suffering ahead, too. Suffering is part of the human condition, and we all have to cope with it. Physical pain and disease, emotional pain, grieving and loss, depression, anxiety, these are all part of the human condition. Not the good part, obviously, but part nonetheless. And for thousands of years, philosophers and theologians have struggled with the question of why we suffer. After all, if God is good and loving and all-powerful, why can't God eliminate suffering? So far, the best answers that the theologians and philosophers have come up with can be summarized this way. It's not that simple. Some might say that evil and suffering are necessary if goodness and pleasure are to have any meaning. They exist on a continuum, and you can't have a continuum with only one end. Some theologians conclude that suffering exists because of the fallen nature of the world, and that the world is broken because humanity introduced sin through the exercise of our free will. Some might explain suffering by saying that God really can't do anything about suffering and that God suffers along with us. And the problem with that, obviously, is it leaves God less than perfect and less than all-powerful. So far, any explanation of the mystery of human suffering has been unsatisfactory. They either diminish God or fail to explain why innocent people suffer. Even the explanations that appear to hold up logically are pretty cold comfort when you're the one who is suffering. And explaining suffering does not make it go away. Especially this week, we've been confronting human suffering on an unimaginable scale, with so many people having lost their homes, everything they have in some cases. And we're all trying to find out how best to respond in the face of suffering on such a huge scale. The gospel gives us some hint of what to do with suffering when it won't go away. If you spend all of your time and energy trying to avoid suffering, trying to save your life, then you won't really have a life. On the other hand, if you can embrace the cross when it's unavoidable and do it for the sake of God and God's people, then you will save your life. If we believe in Jesus and his salvation of us on the cross, then we know that suffering is not necessarily meaningless. If suffering has no meaning, then we'll use any means necessary to stop it. As awful as the news from Houston and the Gulf Coast has been, it's also been remarkable to see communities come together to rescue people, to support each other, to do what is necessary to save their neighbors, regardless of race or creed or political beliefs, immigration status, or any other factor. From all over the country, people are sending aid and are coming to Texas to help people who are suffering. And in a culture that's as hostile and divided as ours is, it's encouraging to see people go to great lengths to help each other. I don't think I'm just casting around looking for a silver lining. I think this terrible disaster has reminded people that we are all intimately connected. Suffering itself is bad, and we should not seek it. There's nothing worse than a willing martyr. And as compassionate people, we have to work to relieve the pain and suffering in the world. Because we're human and imperfect, we're all going to hurt at some time about something. The gospel tells us that we are judged based on our conduct, what we decide to do with the life we're given, with all of its joys and sorrows. And that's how we can find meaning and value, even in pain and suffering. We can't necessarily choose whether or not we suffer, but we can choose how we react, how we cope, and what suffering does to us. I've met people whose pain turned them bitter and angry and manipulative. I've also met people whose suffering burned away their narcissism and allowed them to see clearly what was most important to them, the loving relationships that healed their spirits and brought them peace. And for many people, jumping in to help relieve someone else's suffering helps them to discover their purpose. Suffering will always remain one of the mysteries of our existence. But if we see it in the light of the cross, then even our pain can become a channel for God's grace. Because we follow Christ and trust in his resurrection, we don't need to fear the cross, even our own crosses. We may not understand why they're there, but we know that if we embrace them, we'll eventually find the peace and healing and resurrection that Jesus promises to those who live for him.